2 Samuel chapter 15. David is once again man on the run. How's that song go? Yeah, man on the run. Okay. You know, we've seen so much of David's life running. He must have been in great shape when he died, I'll tell you. You know, we saw how he had to run from Saul for his life because Saul was out to kill him. But finally the day came when God made David king over all Israel. And kind of we thought maybe he would settle down, but instead he was running after Philistines and Ammonites and all the otherites and expanding the kingdom. At some point, and I am afraid I haven't found a good chronology yet to tell me exactly at what point during David's entire 40-year reign these events will happen that we're going to read about tonight. But at some point, we think maybe towards the latter end, he has a son. Well, actually, all kinds of trouble will break loose tonight that we'll be seeing. His oldest son, Amnon, will rape his half-sister, Tamar. And 2 years later, Absalom, who is Tamar's full brother, will take revenge and kill Amnon. You talk about family problems. You think you have family problems. You ain't seen nothing until you look at David's family. I mean, his family was a total mess. And then Absalom starts feeling his oats, and he is the crown prince of Israel, and after all, he will be king one day. Shouldn't he? He's the next in line. You know, he's had all the training. He's now the oldest. And he will, at one point, rebel against his father. And that's when David again becomes a man on the run. David decides not to hold out in Jerusalem against Absalom's army, which is the entire nation. He's turned the entire nation against David. David will turn and run. He will evacuate the city of Jerusalem. He doesn't want his precious city of Jerusalem to be ravaged by war. And so he heads down into the plain now, down near Jordan, to wait and find out what's going on. He's evacuating the city, and that's where we pick it up in chapter 15, verse 19. The people that are with David, his friends that are with David, are filing out. They're meeting outside the city, getting ready to march out of here. It's kind of like that scene in. It's kind of like the scene in Star Wars 5, Empire Strikes Back. You know where they're evacuating the ice planet of Hoth. You know, it's just like that. Very similar to that. Okay, so that's the picture. They're on the ice planet Hoth. Sorry. Too much Star Wars. Today is about friends. Who are your friends? Who are your real friends? What are true friends? We're going to take a little snapshot of three of David's friends. Actually, we'll look at four of them. But three true friends. I want you to think through this morning and try to grasp a hold of what is a friend, who are your friends, but more importantly, what kind of a friend are you? Some of this morning will spill over into marriages. Those of you who are married, I am of the opinion that your best friend, if you're married, ought to be your spouse. I do not believe otherwise. That is what I've lived my life. My best friend is sitting over there. My wife is my absolute, complete best friend. I have no greater friend. I am of that opinion. Some of what we will look at today will spill into your marriages, I hope. What are true friends? What are true friends? The first friend comes up. Verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite. Gittite. Ittai the Gittite. What's a Gittite? It's somebody who's really tense. He gets tight. No. Hey, I've got to loosen up here today, okay? Very few jokes here. Very few and far between, okay? A Gittite is somebody who's an inhabitant of Gath. the city of Gath. If you recall with me as in our studies, Gath is like it's the mother of all Philistine cities. And I didn't even make that up. That's the way the scripture describes it. There was a name for that. It's the mother of all cities, Gath. It was the city where, gosh, who was some of the famous people of Gath? The big tall guy, Goliath, came from Gath. It is the chief city of the Philistines. Ittai, the Gittite, is a Philistine. He's a Philistine mercenary come to live with David. It says, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. You go just live with Absalom. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. You're not even Jewish. This fight isn't even about you. And you're an exile yourself already. Why are you going to go into exile with me? Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. You know what, pal? You just got here. Now, I kind of get the feeling, especially when we will see Ittai developed a little more further on in the scriptures. He will be one of David's main commanders in the battles to follow. I kind of get the feeling they've got some history. But he just showed up in Jerusalem. Whether he's been gone for a long time, or we don't know what's going on, but he's just kind of showed up, and David says, get out. Go just stay a while. You'll be safe with Absalom. His fight isn't with you. His fight's with me. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth. Did you notice the Lord there is all capitals? And I've taught you, this is an English translator's code to tell you that the underlying text in Hebrew is Yahweh, God's name. This Philistine is using God's name. He says, as Yahweh liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, well, then, say, come along, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him, he brought all the families with them. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And so they are evacuating the city. Now, I think this is interesting what Ittai says. He says, verse 21, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be. You know, we often, when we look at scriptures of people who make real commitments to people, you know, you think of Naomi and Ruth. You know, and Ruth said to Naomi, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. You know, really cool stuff. Hey, Ittai the Gittite's right up there. He says, Dave, you know what, pal? I'm sticking with you. Whether we die or live, wherever you are, pal, that's where I'm going to be. There's a picture of commitment here. A picture of commitment. Who is Ittai? Ittai is a warrior. And if I was to characterize, you know, we're going to come up with three people, three different characterizations of friends, three different qualities to think about friends. One quality of a friend is that a friend is a warrior. A warrior who will fight. A warrior who will fight for you, not against you. Now, I know we get into these little things, you know, with some of our friends, you know, and that's one of the mysteries of marriage, isn't it? That we get to fighting with each other, and it is sometimes the hardest thing to flip over in the brain to realize, wait a minute, we're supposed to be on the same side. A friend is a warrior. A friend is one who fights. A good friend will stay when others leave. A good friend will stay when others leave. Proverbs 18:24 says, this is New Living Translation, it says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A good friend will stay when others leave. Most of the nation will desert David. Ittai will stay. An English publication offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. Among the thousands of entries received were the following. One of them was, one, a friend is one who multiplies joys and divides grief. That's a good one. Or, one who understands our silence. Or, a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. Well, that sounds very, very British. It's a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. Or, a watch which beats true for all time and never runs down. But the one that won was this. A friend, the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend is someone who sticks with you. And the tone, do you guys like listening to, I know Shelley does, KNX, the Lone Ranger. Do you ever listen on KNX at night, those radio things? Oh, I love those things. As the Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding along towards the north, they spotted a war party of about 50 Apaches coming at them. They turned south, but another war party appeared. They turned east and met another 100 braves. They turned west as their last remaining hope, and they saw a party of 500. The Lone Ranger turned to his friend and said, "Well, faithful friend, this is the end. There's not much we can do." Tonto looked back at the Lone Ranger. "What you mean, we, white man?" That was good. Oh, well, not much of a friend, huh? We need people in our lives that will stay with us when the chips are down. Just like Ittai stayed with David. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. I've got to go here again. We did this last Sunday night, but I want to do this again. Where is Ecclesiastes? Do you know where Ecclesiastes is? It's after Psalms. That's a good one. If you can find Psalms, go to the right. After Psalms is what? Proverbs. And it's right after Proverbs. Don't get into that Song of Solomon book. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. This was one of our wedding passages. This is what we had in our wedding 23, almost 24 years ago. This was part of our wedding. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And you know, I think, you know, in marriage, I think the neat thing is that the third cord is Jesus. He holds us together. We need people in our lives who will grab our hand when we're down. People to pick us up. Now, I know that there's probably a good chance that when we talk about friends this morning, there will be probably more than a couple of us who will be going, "Yeah, I need that. I need a friend in my life. I don't have any friends, and I need some friends." And so, preach it, bro, and at the end of the service, you line them up and give me a friend. I want to challenge you this morning as we look at David's friends. Be a friend. Be an Ittai who will look for a David. This morning, I don't want to encourage you to be challenging to be thinking about, well, who are my real friends, the people that stick with me? No. Who are you sticking with? Who are the Davids in your life? Stu Weber, who's the pastor of Good Shepherd Community Church in Boring, Oregon. I'd never want to preach there, I'll tell you. Maybe I should be preaching there, huh? Wait a second. Who thought that idea? Okay. This is what he writes. He writes this. It's 1967. We were at war in Vietnam. And there I was at the U.S. Army Ranger School at Fort Benning, Georgia. It was brutal. I can still hear the raspy voice of the sergeant. We are here to save your lives. We're going to see to it that you overcome all your natural fears. We're going to show you just how much incredible stress the human mind and body can endure. And when we're finished with you, you will be the U.S. Army's best. Then, before he dismissed the formation, he announced our first assignment. We'd kind of steeled ourselves for something really tough, like running 10 miles in full battle gear or rappelling down a sheer cliff. Instead, he said, "Find yourself a ranger buddy," he growled. "You will stick together. You will never leave each other. You will encourage each other. And as necessary, you will carry each other." It was the Army's way of saying difficult assignments require a friend. Together is better. We need Ittais. We need to be Ittais. A friend is a warrior. A friend doesn't leave you. A friend fights for you. I was thinking... I think hit me at first service. There was a news item. I don't know if you followed the story. It was a couple weeks ago in the war in Afghanistan where the special ops guys were I think it was part of Anaconda, where they were coming in choppers, and as they began to land and began to offload, they came under intense fire. I don't know if you remember this. And the pilot realized they weren't going to be able to make it. And so they called to get everybody back in the chopper. And the guy took off. And one guy fell out. And word got back that one of the guys was missing. He had fallen out. And you know what they did? They went back to get him. And I wish I'd looked this up. I don't remember how many guys lost their lives to do this. I think it was like 3 or 4 or 5 guys died in this rescue attempt. And it was too late. He was already dead. A dozen guys got severely wounded. But they went back to get him. That's a friend. A friend doesn't leave when everyone else does. A friend is an Ittai. A friend is a warrior. Let's move on. Let's go back to Samuel. Verse 24. We meet friend number 2. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him. Next batch of guys start filing out the gate. Zadok also, and all the Levites who were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. Zadok and Abiathar are priests. Zadok is one of the high priests. And the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here I am. Here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." Now, there's been times where I've read this thing that David says, and I look at that and I go, well, man, the guy is just quitting. The guy is just giving up. He just feels like he's not worthy of God, you know, or something like that. You know what? That's not that at all. Let's look at Psalm 3. Look at Psalm 3. David wrote a song at this time. Now, I don't know if he like said, oh, everybody stop here. I've got to write down this song. Somebody hand me a guitar. We've got to figure this thing out. Maybe he had a little tape recorder with him. He sang into the tape recorder. Psalm 3. David wrote a song while they were evacuating, while they were fleeing from Absalom. Psalm 3, verse 1. Look at where David's heart is in this. Okay, pay attention to this. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, that's like how many people are against David right now, tens of thousands. You know, it's that bad. I don't recall exactly what he will end up on his side, but at this time, there's only 600 people going with him. Now, maybe they'll rally some more troops a little bit later when they actually start the battles, but the odds are not against him. And David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. So when David says this thing, well, just may God do whatever seems good to me. You know, it's just like he's not saying, well, you know, I don't think God's with me anymore. He trusts the Lord. He's counting on God to work things out. As important as friendship is, healthy relationships come with people when we are learning to trust God, when we're counting on Him. Now, then he says, verse 27, back in Samuel, he says, verse 27, the king said also unto Zadok the priest. By the way, the second friend is Zadok. The second friend is a priest. The first friend, Ittai, was a warrior. Second friend is a priest. He said unto Zadok the priest, art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify or to inform me. Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. Now, David asked him this question. You know, you are one of these prophet guys, a seer guy, aren't you? God does speak through you, doesn't he? You know, well, then I think the best thing that you can do for me is go do your stuff. And you don't even have to be with me. You stay here and do your stuff. You be the priest. And if you see anything, if you hear anything from God, you send word. You got your sons, they're pretty quick runners. I mean, these guys are going to be the messengers for him. They can get me the message. You don't have to be with me to be a priest for me. In fact, the Israelites, remember we saw how Israelites made the mistake of feeling they always had to have the lucky charm, the ark, with them. You know, and that got them into trouble because they were looking at this box more than they were looking at God. David's not doing that. He believes that if God's with him, God will take care of him. A friend is a priest. A friend is a priest. And that doesn't mean you've got to go around like all the way up to go buy little black clothes with blue white collars and stuff like that. the Bible says that we, as believers, are a kingdom of priests. The Bible says that the work of the ministry is done by you, not just me. And what is a priest? A priest is a guy who stands in the middle. There's God on one side, and there's people on the other. And a priest is a person that grabs God's hand and grabs the people's hand and puts them together. And so priests will do two things. A priest will talk to God for the people, and a priest will talk to the people for God. And that's exactly what David is expecting his friend to stay in Jerusalem and do. A friend will pray. A friend will pray. A friend will pray with friends. A friend will pray for friends. Not upon friends. Pray upon them. No. Pray for them. Have you ever found it awkward or difficult to pray with your friends? Anybody here? Yeah. The rest of you are lying. It is not an easy thing to do. Some of my oldest, dearest friends, I find that, we go out to lunch together and I just, you talk a lot. But to actually stop and pray for each other, somebody doesn't want you to do that. I think it's a thing in marriage that's one of the little secrets that we don't do. It's a dirty little secret in the church that husbands and wives don't pray together like they ought to. Because it's sin. Well, he's more spiritual than I am. Or, that's usually not the case. It's the other way around, isn't it? And we got all these reasons. Grab their hand and pray. A priest prays. A friend prays. A friend will speak for God. A priest will speak for God. See, the priest thing goes two ways. You speak to God for the people, and you speak to the people for God. So a priest is someone who will tell you what God says. A good friend is someone who will tell you what God says. I find that these two things of the priest go together. I think that it's interesting how sometimes when I'm praying for people, sometimes I get something for them. Scripture comes. Those of you who are teachers, you're learning this, aren't you? You've got to pray for the people you're going to teach to. The people you're going to speak to. If you don't pray for them, you don't often get words for them. That's a part of the function of a priest. In fact, gosh, we've been reading in our quiet time. We've been going through Exodus, and I found this very bizarre site on the web. It's the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. These are the folks that are working to rebuild the temple. I mean, they have got almost everything already. I mean, they've made the garments for the priests. You can go on the web. You can see the priest's breastplate. They feel that they've figured out what the 12 stones are in the priest. You can buy the stones. They'll give you rough copies of them. I found that yesterday. I was thinking, I'm going to send away for that stuff. I mean, it's just that they have built the golden altar of incense. They've built the censers to burn the incense. They've built the laver to wash the priest's hands and the feet. They have built the altar for burnt offering already. It's absolutely fascinating. And one of the things they felt that the high priest did was that he was somebody who would speak for God. A friend will tell a friend what God says. Um, A friend will tell you the truth, even if it isn't something you want to hear. One of the first messages David will get from these guys is, run! Run, 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 run! Absalom's coming. He's got a huge army and you're a sitting duck, man. They're going to cook your goose. You better run. Now, I'm not sure that's what David wanted to hear. I would think David would want to say, we were just joshing you.
We were having a big surprise party for you, David. And we were going to overthrow you, man. We were just going to give you cookies and ice cream, you know? And
maybe that's what he wanted to hear. But they said, run. You know what? He ran, saved his life. But that doesn't mean that a friend always focuses on problems. John 13:34, we're told, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. In other words, Jesus said, I want you to learn to love each other like I love you. Now, how does Jesus love us? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. A friend is like a priest. A friend will speak to you and tell you what God says. A friend will tell you to run from danger. A friend will tell you to run from sin. But a friend will love you like Jesus loves you. Look at Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, we see this happen in marriage, where sometimes we feel like it is our call of God to right all the wrongs and pick apart all the problems and to tell you what's, you know, I got to, you know, this is God's call on my life, is to show you where you're wrong. You need to be careful with that, beloved. Who is the one that condemns? Jesus is the one that justifies. Is he against us or for us? He's for us. And so we need to be careful with our friendships. Yes, God wants you to speak the truth. And there will be times where the message says, run. But there are also times where, man, your friend needs to know you are on their side. You need to build them up and encourage them. He says, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sounds just like that stuff with Ittai the Gittai, doesn't it? Friend doesn't leave. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We need to have that kind of love for one another, that they can count on you. A friend is a priest, Zadok. Let's move on. Back to Samuel, verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went. And had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, who's Ahithophel? We've mentioned this before. Ahithophel is an old, dear friend of David's. He has a son named Eliam, who's one of David's mighty men. Eliam has a daughter, whose name is Bathsheba. That Bathsheba, David's affair, David's adultery, the one for whom David killed Uriah the Hittite. I think it's very possible that Ahithophel became disgusted with David for his conduct with Bathsheba. I think this very well could be part of why Ahithophel will turn on David, his friend. Ahithophel's not the good friend. He's the bad friend. David would write two songs about Ahithophel and his betrayal. In Psalm 55:12, he would say, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked under the house of God in company." It is one of life's bitterest experiences to be betrayed by a friend, by a close friend. Oh, it's one of life's bitterest experiences. That's what David was going through right now. Now, how does David handle the news of Ahithophel's betrayal? He prays. He prays and he says, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. David handled betrayal with prayer. He knows how smart Ahithophel is. He knows how dangerous he is. And all he can do is he prays. Verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and torn and earth upon his head. Hushai is friend number three, the good friend number three. Hushai the Archite. Hushai the Archite. David's got a friend Ittai, who's a warrior. He's got a friend Zadok, who's a priest. And he's got a friend Hushai, who's a counselor. He's a counselor. David didn't have just one counselor. It didn't just have Ahithophel as a counselor. David had many counselors. The Bible says that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. You shouldn't just depend on one person for advice. And that's not what David did. David had many counselors. But Hushai shows up and it says his clothes are torn and the earth is upon his head. He's got dirt all over him. He is in mourning. He is weeping for his friend. A friend is sympathetic. There will be people who will be cursing David. We'll get this in the next chapter next week. There will be people who will be cursing and yelling at David. Hushai is grieved. There will be people who will say to David, "You deserve this. You are the biggest jerk in the world. You had it coming, pal." Hushai is grieved. A friend is sympathetic. A friend is sympathetic. And you know what? You could even make a real good point that David deserved what he's getting. In fact, man, gosh, tonight we're going to talk about that. You know, he's kind of reaping what he sowed, you know. And God said, because of what you've done, pal, you're going to have trouble. And so, you know, people could be pointing the finger and saying, yeah, you weren't the big class jerk, you know. You had a coming, pal. So straighten up your life. Hushai comes with his clothes torn and dirt on him. A friend is sympathetic. And he prays. David prays. And Hushai shows up. That's kind of an interesting coincidence. You know, he's in a horrible predicament, and he just realizes, man, have we got a mess on our hands? If Ahithophel is helping out Absalom, man, I'm my goose is cooked. You know, nobody cares. This guy's so smart. And then, you know, boy, like, oh, God, help us. And Hushai shows up. I think that's an amazing coincidence. And David starts thinking, and he starts saying, Ahithophel, I got problems. I pray. Hushai shows up. Hushai's like almost as smart as Ahithophel. And so he says, verse 33, and unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou will be, you'll be a burden unto me. You know, I'm going to have to take care of you. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Here, I've got this plan, Hushai. Why don't you stick around and offer your services to Absalom? Maybe you're the answer to my prayer. And hast thou not there with Zadok and Abiathar? I mean, those are my pals too, and they're going to be there. You can say, stick. You can like go for coffee with those guys when you're depressed, you know. And you're saying, and he says, therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that you can hear. Yeah, these guys are great kids. They just run like the wind, and you just send them. Oh, this is, I like this idea, Hushai. What do you think? So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. And so the rebellion is here. Absalom has shown up. And Hushai sticks around. Now, we got Ittai the warrior. He stays with David and he fights. That's what a friend does. We got Zadok the priest. And he's going to pray. And he's going to seek God. And he's going to help David. And then we got Hushai, who's a counselor. A counselor is a guy who has an answer. A counselor is a guy who has an answer. But you know what? You know what, to me, even more than that for Hushai? Because really, David doesn't get any advice from Hushai right here. He's giving advice. More than having an answer, Hushai is an answer. I don't think it was a coincidence that David says, oh, God, somebody's got us. We need some help with that Ahithophel's counsel. And then the next guy that walks up in line is Hushai. Hushai doesn't just have an answer. He is an answer. A good friend is an answer to prayer. And, you know, I know there may be some of you thinking, well, yeah, I really could use a good friend. But again, I want to challenge you, be a good friend. Could you be an answer to somebody's prayer? Friend is a warrior, a friend is a priest, friend is a counselor. Do you need a friend? At the end of the service, we'll have 25 friends up here, and you may volunteer to pick and choose a friend as you'd like. You know, we have tall ones, short ones, skinny ones, fat ones. We have all kinds of friends for you. No, I don't. But I do know someone who's a warrior. I know someone who will fight for you. And he's coming on a white horse. He's got a sword in his mouth. And he's coming to fight for his people. I know someone who's a priest. And he's the bestest priest in the world. He prays for you every day. And I'll tell you what, he's got God's words to tell you. He's got things from God to show you. I know somebody who's a counselor. I know somebody who's also an answer to prayer. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. It's on his office door. It says, Wonderful Counselor. His name is Jesus. And if you are in need this morning of a friend, there's one place to start, and that's Jesus. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And then he did it.